Now, I want to look again at Romans 11, not in depth. I'm just going to breeze over it because it's part of the whole pattern of sequence that's happened spiritually here. Romans 11. Well, because of unbelief, they were broken off. Who? Israel. And they stand by faith. Do not be high-minded, but fear. So here the author is speaking to the believers in Yeshua. I say, if God did not spare the natural branches, take heed lest he also not spare you. Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God on them which fell severity, but towards you goodness. Okay, who fell? Those who turned away from God and his salvation. But towards you goodness, if you continue in his goodness, otherwise you also shall be cut off. And they also, if they abide not still in unbelief, if they abide not still in unbelief. In other words, if they believe, they shall be grafted in. For God is able to graft them in again as a nation, right? For if you were cut out of an olive tree, which is wild by nature, and were grafted contrary to nature into a good olive tree, saying that the Israel, the teachings and the commandments were good, how much more shall these, which being the natural branches, be grafted into their own olive tree? For I don't want you to be, brothers, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceits. But this blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. And so all of Israel shall be saved, as it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, not the Savior this time, not for salvation, for deliverance, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sins. Why? Even it's because they're still in sin. Even though they do all the right things and try to obey the Torah and the law, it doesn't take away their sins. It's only the blood of Yeshua, their salvation, that takes away their sins, any of our sins. As concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sakes. But as touching the election, they are beloved for the Father's sakes. For the gifts and callings of God are without repentance. Okay, so God still uses them. He still loves them. And I'm always reminded of the parable Yeshua talked about there was a father and he had two sons. And there was an older one and a younger one. And the younger one wanted in his inheritance. And he left his father, give me my inheritance, and he ran off, which is the same as giving his father a death sentence. I don't believe you anymore. This is the tribes that have been dispersed, the apostate tribes, the Jews, Abraham's father, the children that are like the stars in the sky and the sands in the sea were countless, were numerous. And we've been assimilated. We don't even know who we are, the lost tribes of Israel. And that we're in the Father, that we're in our Father's loins, Adam, we're all there. Okay. So then there's this older brother, and he stayed at the father's house. He did all the right things. Right? He was a good boy. And when the repentant son came back after he went into the pig pen, he wasted all his inheritance on women and drinking and carousing, and there was a famine came to the land, and he was in the pig pen. And in the pig pen, he realized, oh my gosh, I've really sinned. At my father's house, you can eat, even the pigs eat better. I mean, he was eating the corn husk. He was looking at the pig's corn husk that he was feeding. So he decided to go back to his father, and every day the father was waiting for him. The Father is waiting for all his children, the Gentile nations. They're all going to come in. Those who have been written, their names written in the book from eternity. And so the Father ran and said, oh, my son, he said, oh, the son said, Father, forgive me. I've sinned. I'm not worthy to be called your son. And he said, bring a robe, bring a ring. Let's have a great feast. My son who was lost is now found. Children are coming home. They're recognizing the full counsel of God. They're recognizing that Jesus, Yeshua, was a Jew, and the context of that is the full revelation of the book. Is Yeshua is not extracted from the book. He is the book. He is the Word made flesh from the beginning. God said, let there be light. He is the light of the world. But the older brother, the Jews, who still stayed at the father's house and they were good boys, they're upset. Why can't, no way. Look, you haven't even given me a calf. And so your brother who's lost is now found. So here we have a semi-application in light of, let's look at this scripture from Ezekiel, if we could, because I think it's important in light of prophetically what's coming to pass now. And Ezekiel, it's Ezekiel 36, and this is talking in verse 16. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, when the house of Israel dwelt in their own land, they defiled it by their own way. And by their doings, and their way was before me as the uncleanness of a removed woman, or woman in, you know, in other words, he divorced them. She was in her time. Wherefore I poured out, and this is bears out in Deuteronomy 28, that the curses for being disobedient to the covenant of God was they would be dispersed. The house of Israel would be removed from their land when they defiled it. Wherefore, verse 18, I poured out my fury upon them for the blood that they had shed in the land and for the idols wherewith they had polluted it. So my question here begins to look on, you know, practicing Jews who believe that they have the heritage of their fathers and the traditions of their fathers. Well, here they go. They're still polluting the land with blood and idolatry. Need to clean up their act, but they're not going to do that without the blood of Yeshua. It's life for life. They cannot reconcile the innocent blood only that's been murdered. Only someone can stand in that's innocent and take the place of that blood that has been shed on the land that has defiled it. Verse 19, and I scattered them among the heathen, and they were dispersed through the countries according to their way, and according to their doings I judged them. And whatever happened to the Jews during the dispersion when they were cast out of this land, it was done according to what God said. Now, tonight is the night of fasting for the destruction of the second temple at Mikdash. And Zechariah 5 talks about why the curse went out from the temple. But this is right here, it's the blood and the idolatry. And when they entered into the heathens, wherever they went, they profaned my holy name. So my question is if we're keeping the traditions of the fathers that have been handed down to it, they have profaned God's name. In the Talmud and in the rabbinical teachings, are they continuing to profane God's holy name? When they said to them, these are the people of the Lord and gone forth out of his land, but I had pity for mine holy name, which the house of Israel had profaned among the heathen wherever they went. God had pity on them. It's not that, oh, they've got this big, complex about, oh my gosh, I all these people have done all these horrible things to us in our dispersion. God says he permitted it. But God had pity for his holy name because they were trying to keep it. They were trying, therefore saying to the house of Israel, thus says the Lord God, I do not do this for your sakes, O house of Israel, but for my holy name's sake, which you have profaned among the heathen wherever you went. And I will sanctify my great name, which was profaned among the heathen, which you have profaned in the midst of them, and the heathen shall know that I am the Lord, says the Lord God, when I shall be sanctified in you before their eyes. All right, God's going to make a big ta-da over this, over the whole, all the nations. He says, you're not, you profane his name, Israel. And God, because of his namesake, he's going to sanctify his name in front of everybody. He's going to do this. God's going to do this in front of everybody. Oh my goodness. And the heathen shall know that I'm the Lord when I've sanctified in you. See, nobody's righteous. Nobody can keep it. Nobody can keep the laws of God. Nobody can keep the commandments because it's an inward thing. It's not an external thing. It's a heart issue. It's a thought issue, your thought life. It's a speaking truthfully, not with a divided tongue. It's not being manipulative. It's being straight arrow, being straightforward. For I will take you from among the heathen, gather you out of all the countries, and I will bring you into your own land, which God has done. Then I will sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean from all your filthiness and from all your idols while I can't cleanse you. A new heart also I will give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away that stony heart out of your flesh and will give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you. Do you see this? It's God that's going to cleanse them. It's going to you're going to get baptized with cleansing waters of the Holy Spirit from your filthiness and idolatry. And you're going to get a new heart. Your stony heart's going to get taken out. It's not an intellectual ascent. Knowledge of God, eating from the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, is the same old seduction and divided tongue and twisting, coiling and twisting that the talking serpent had in the garden. Heart issue. It's a heart issue. We apprehend God in our heart because we are not capable of apprehending God intellectually and mentally. Not only do we have less than 10% of our brain operating because of the fall and because we've devolved, we have not evolved, but because even at that level of if we had all our brain operating, if we could figure out God, he wouldn't be God. You see, he's way, who can know? Your ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. They're beyond searching out. That's what makes him God. So he wants to know what's going on in your heart, not in your head, in your heart. I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh, and I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments and do them. And you shall dwell in the land that I gave your fathers, and you shall be my people, and I will be your God. And I will also save you from all your uncleanness. And then he will call for the increase in the land. I will multiply the fruit of the trees and the increase of the field. It shall receive no more reproach of famine among the heathen. And then you shall remember your own evil ways and your doings that were not good, and shall loathe yourself in your own sight for your iniquities and for your abominations. Not for your sakes do I do this, says the Lord, but I know, be it known unto you, be ashamed and confounded for your own ways, O house of Israel, for follow your own teachings and the thoughts of men and so on. Follow the Spirit and see those that walk by the Spirit. Okay? God causes them to have his statutes and judgments operating in their heart and fulfilling them. In that day I shall cleanse you from all your iniquities, and I will also call you to dwell in the cities, and the way shall be built, and the desolate land shall be tilled where it lay desolate in the sight of all that pass by it. And so on. All right, I want to go to some other scriptures here. So let's segue there.